grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Dearest Jesus, Holy Child, prepare a bed, soft, undefiled, within our hearts made clean and new, a quiet chamber kept for you. Amen. Powerful politicians in far-off places were making decrees, seemingly without regard for the little people. So everybody had to move and travel and hustle and bustle. On top of that, it was tax season. Everybody had their paperwork. Everybody had to take care of that. The highways were packed. Traffic was terrible. Families were everywhere trying to find a place to stay, trying to find food to eat. And on top of all that, a young couple is trying to find how to change their practice from the midwife practice in Nazareth and find an OB in Bethlehem at the last minute. This was stressful. It was a busy and bustling first Christmas. Sound familiar? Kind of like our Christmas. Busy, bustling, politics as usual going on, often seemingly in faraway places without regard for the little guy, lots of things to do, family everywhere, traffic filled, highways. It seems that not that much has changed since that first Christmas, which is important to remember. Because we can start hearing those words from Luke 2, and we hear, in those days, and oh yes, and it came to pass, and it almost feels like a fairy tale. Like we're ready to sit back with our hot chocolate and our twinkling lights and enjoy it for a little bit and then get back to real life. But this is real life. That first Christmas happened in a world and it happened to people the same as today. Nothing really has changed. And we see that in Luke chapter 2. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and everyone went to register, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth, into Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem. He went to be registered with Mary, his wife, who was pledged to him in marriage and was expecting a child. And so it was that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. On that first Christmas, we see politics and busyness. We see traffic and family. And one of the things that we see on that first Christmas that I haven't mentioned yet is indifference. Indifference. How could the world react to this amazing thing? There's no room for them in the inn. People are bustling around, and they're too busy to notice this. And if you think it's just because they hadn't heard about it yet, look later in Luke 2, the shepherds are around, they're telling people, they're saying, this is going on, a Savior is born, check the manger. And we read that people were amazed, and that's about it. They basically said, oh, cool. And that was it, and they went back to their busy lives. Later, we read, when the wise men come, much later, they show up and they say, hey, where's the newborn king? And everybody says, the newborn what? Jesus is met with indifference. And that hasn't really changed today either. It hasn't changed throughout the ages because people don't change. Martin Luther once shared a sermon on Christmas Day, and in it he shared a fable about the devil attending church. And if you think that sounds weird, just stick with me. I think the story has a cool point. He talks about the devil attending church with all of these Christians standing during a portion of the service where they confess, Jesus, the Son of God, became truly human. And as they say that, they keep standing. Jesus became truly human, and they just keep going. And the devil looks around, and he's appalled. And he grabs one of the Christians, and he starts shaking him and punching him and saying, how can you just stand there? If Jesus had become an angel like us, all of us would have fallen on our knees and worshipped him from there and praised him forever. But he became a human, a dirty, stinky little human. And you stand there instead of kneeling in awe. Now that's just a fable. That the devil himself would be appalled at our indifference to what Jesus has done. But the devil is very real. He's not just in stories. And he isn't trying to shake us to teach us what a wonderful miracle happened on Christmas. No, he wants us to be indifferent. He doesn't want us to think about this. He doesn't want us to notice. And he does attend church, trying to tempt us, telling us, isn't that cute? Isn't that sweet? And then just having us forget about it the next day. And he doesn't just attend church. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for us to devour every day. He attends our Christmas celebrations, trying to make us forget the true meaning of what Jesus has done. He doesn't want us to know this miracle, this incredible miracle that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became truly human. 100% God, and yet also 100% human in a way only God can do, so that he could save us in a way only Jesus could. What a miracle. And when the devil tempts us to disregard this or forget about it the day after Christmas or maybe after the 12 days of Christmas, he finds an ally in our hearts. Our sinful hearts that want nothing to do with this baby, that want nothing to do with this baby in a manger. We want to move on to the busyness and to the bustle and to the families and, yes, even to the death and to the taxes. Nothing's changed. Still today, our hearts can become a place of indifference to this miracle. People haven't changed, but neither has God. And we find very similar people to us on that first Christmas, but we also find the very same God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what does God do in response to indifference on that very first Christmas? He sends glory and goodwill. God hasn't changed. And what was true back then on that very first Christmas? God was in control. It may seem like it was just politics as usual, but when Caesar Augustus issued that decree, it fit perfectly in the King of the Universe's plans, so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem at just the right time. And God is still in control today. He has controlled all of human history, even to this point in your life, so that he could make known to you today this good news of great joy, so that he could share with you, just like he shared with those lowly, sinful shepherds on that first Christmas night, share with you his glory and his goodwill. We read, there were in the same country shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude from the heavenly army praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward mankind." To those shepherds, indifferent and ignorant of the events of that first Christmas, God appeared with all his glory. And what happened is what always happens when sinners stand in the presence of a holy God. They were terrified. But God didn't just share his glory. He shared his goodwill. He told those shepherds, "Today in the town of David is born a Savior for you. And this will be a sign for you so that you can know that your God is not indifferent towards you. And our God is not indifferent towards us today. To sinners often trapped in indifference, God does reveal his glory. He tells us tonight, just like the shepherds had to realize in the presence of a holy God, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us can stand in his presence. We're not good enough. We're not holy enough. But God also shares his goodwill to show us that while he is not indifferent about sin and sinners, he is not indifferent about saving sinners either. That day, in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. For you. And that God loves you so much with an undeserved love that he continues to give signs for you. Signs that you can see and approach without fear. Just like the shepherds could approach this manger without the terror of the glory of God, so you've approached today. And God is coming to you in a way that you can believe in his word, in songs, with his goodwill. That's the miracle of Christmas, that nothing has changed, that Jesus, who was the Savior of those shepherds that night, is still your Savior. Jesus, who did become truly human for you, to live a perfect life in your place, always putting God first, always loving him the most, living a holy life before God, Jesus gives that life to you. And because God cannot be indifferent about sin, Jesus then suffered God's wrath on the cross. He was punished in our place so that we could have Christ's holiness, so that we could stand in God's presence without fear when he comes again on the last day. And Jesus rose again from the dead to prove that there can be no indifference when it comes to him. He is the risen and ascended mighty Lord. And he has goodwill for you. Goodwill towards all mankind. His forgiveness. Nothing has changed. Jesus has that goodwill for us tonight. But when you know you have that goodwill, well then, everything does change, doesn't it? It did for those shepherds. What happened after those shepherds were told this good news of great joy? They ran. They ran and they searched and they found this baby in the manger and they worshiped him. And then life could not be the same anymore. It changed. They went home telling everyone what they had seen and heard. And then when they returned back to their job, they returned glorifying and praising God. That's how life changes for us too. You cannot leave this lowly manger unchanged. When God uses this good news of great joy to give you faith, to make a quiet place in your heart for himself, then he drives out that indifference with this joy. with this good news of great joy, this joy to the world. And when you have that joy to the world, you can be so happy that nothing has changed. And yet, everything has. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.